What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along. Day two from the Horse's Mouth of Cheltenham. Cheltenham Festival, Ruby Walsh and Rory Delargy are back with myself, Patrick Nelly, to look ahead to day two. First things first, transparency. We're recording on Monday, so we don't know what's happened on the Tuesday as of yet. So any of the big storylines, we'll get to them in tomorrow's podcast. But Rory Delargy, Ruby Walsh, I got you, Rory, first. How are you? Loads of winners on day one.
Yeah, it's a great day. Colonel Mustard, who'd have thought he went by that far?
I mean, and Trelawne in the each way double. Amazing. Incredible. Well done. Well done.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Well, first time blinkers. Worth the charm, Colonel Mustard.
Did the business, didn't
it? Ruby, you're safely ensconced over. I saw yourself and Lydia on the course walk. Looked grey and damp and drizzly. Well, not drizzly.
It was this morning. It cleared up a bit in the afternoon, PK. Okay. Walked the track. I think John Poulin has it in great condition, but it will be testing tomorrow. I think it'll be really sticky on Wednesday. Wednesday could be a day for sloggers.
Well, that's the day we're going to be talking about. But before we get stuck into all the selections, producer Mark has got me to read out a few bits and bobs. Free bets. We love free bets. Link in the show notes how you can avail of free bets. They're on paddypower.com right now if you haven't already taken advantage there. Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, loads of good stuff on it. You got Conor Moore's impressions. You got the Rewind Show, Brian Cooper, and plenty more besides. Really good stuff there. The Cheltenham Fan Zone on Friday. Get your tickets now. Really, really close to selling out. And if you are listening to this before racing on Tuesday, get yourself to the Brewery Quarter in the morning because not only is it free beer, it's free Guinness. Now, Rory Delargy, how much is a pint of Guinness at Cheltenham Racecourse?
£7.50, isn't it?
About. It's all over the bloody socials. You know exactly how much it is. So you're already starting the day £7.50 up. There you go. That's not too bad. You know, and when you get that far in front, you have to have a Guinness with your breakfast, but get down to the Brewery Quarter on Tuesday morning if you haven't listened to this, if you are listening to this beforehand, because I believe there's going to be proper pints in a glass. Oh, a glass. Okay, we talk about Cheltenham. Let's talk about the first race, which is the Gallagher Novices Hurdle, formerly the Baring Bring, formerly about a gazillion other races. Get into a Paddy Power shop, you get a free fiver. If you put a tenner on this race, that's to all customers, but it is Ballyburns to lose, according to the betting. 1-2 favourite. 4-1, Edith Lantique. Patrick gets the plum mount there. That's Patrick Mullins. Predator's Gold is 8-1. Danny Mullins on board. 11-1, the unbeaten handstands. Jingo Blue for Nicky Henderson and Nico. 14-1. 20-1, Jimmy DeSoy. 25's Mercury and 200-1, the Grey Man. I will come to Ruby after because he's got a lot of Willie Mullins horses to talk about, Rory. But let's get your take because Ballyburn 1-2 is not going to be your shtick. But have you got an angle?
Not really. I think Harriet Dickens got an angle, though. She's got the Grey Man in there at 1,000,000-1. And if he comes out, there'll be only two places to pay. So she'll be batting away buff envelopes all afternoon, won't she? First of all, I have to correct you on the race title. It's not formerly the Baring Bingham. It's still the Baring Bingham. Right. Just never been run under that title. That's just a...
And it very nearly was. And still...
I know. Gallagher's so close. So close. It came Gallagher's to spoil the story. Yeah. I know. No one will remember who he was and they'll confuse him with Bingham Baring, and that's just not what you want. Listen, I don't really like Elad Lantique as a 2 mile five hurdler on sticky ground. I do like him as a project. I think he might be an Oracle horse next year. I think Fences will be making of him, but he's had three starts in his career so far where he's looked all over the winner and got run down later on, straight at 101, 1.11 and 1.6 in running and got beaten. And I backed him at least one of those times, so I'm not going to be doing it again. He'd be the obvious one to follow Ballyburn home, but I'm not sure I could see him travelling really well and then getting run out of it, even the places up the hill. So I think there's absolutely no reason to be against Ballyburn. He won't mind the ground getting sticky either. I know he was going to go for the Supreme, but on pedigree, he's going to stay 3 miles in time, so he won't mind what happens. And he's impossible to be against. Obviously, if all eight go to post, then you've got a decent enough decent enough each way angle there. I suppose I'd go Predators gold if I had to. And you know, sometimes the you're almost forced into a little sneaky each way bet just by the setup of the race. But I wanna make it clear that I'm all over Ballyburn here. If I was, he might be part of a multiple, but I don't tend to get stuck into these. But I think he should have this very easily.
You talk about multiples, and Wednesday could be the day for the big multi, couldn't it? Ballyburn, El Fabiolo, and in between, Fact to File. Okay, Ruby, talk us through the Mullins contingent. He's got 5 of the 8.
Yeah, look, I think Rory has pretty much summed up Ballyburn, and I'd be of the same opinion as him, so not going to bore you with that one. In Atlantique, I'd imagine they might ride him a bit differently to how he was ridden in Nace. I can't see Paul or Patrick going on with him. I'd say they were trying to change tactics in the hope that he'd get home a bit stronger than he has. Predator's Gold. I'm kind of taking the hint from Patrick Mullins here. Patrick rode Predator's Gold in Leopardstown at Christmas, and he's gone for Eid Atlantique. So I'd be taking that little sign that Patrick maybe thinks Eid Atlantique will call for Predator's Gold. I was impressed with Handstands at Huntingdon. And I think of the ones, or willies that are big price, Jimmy DeSoy and Mercury. They're both going well. I just heard David Casey mentioning Jimmy DeSoy once or twice, maybe as one for the each way angle if the dead 8 go at the post. He's 20-1 shot, so maybe Jimmy DeSoy to be placed.
Did Patrick ring Michael O'Leary or Eddie O'Leary and say, "Listen, we'll have a cup of tea here because I'm not going to ride your horse in the Baring Bingham. Sorry, buddy."
Yeah,
that'd be nice conversation.
I'd say they had a really long conversation. Yeah,
that's a nice bit reverse.
Like that. That's a nice link to the Brian Cooper rewinds when he said that when he got the job, he decided he was never going to drink tea again just to be on the safe side. But even that doesn't work.
No, yeah. Michael found a way through that one fairly quickly. Yeah, really good show, that, must say. Brilliant watch if you haven't done so already. Okay, on to the brand advisory. The 3 miler for novice chasers. Small enough field here. The second of the odds on William Mullins horses is Fact to File. Shade of odds on 10 to 11. The big news on Monday was that Broadway Boys come out. And that really affects the tactics, I'd say. Stay Away Faye 3-1, Monty Star 5-1, American Mike into the race at 10-1, 16 is Giovinco and 16 Sander Clegane. Okay, Ruby, Fact to File's to lose, or is it?
I wouldn't say quite to lose, PK, but I would agree with you. I think Broadway Boy not running makes it a bit harder for Stay Away Faye. He has cheap pieces on him. He can make the running, but he would have loved something dragging him and giving him a hand to take the sting out of Fact to File. He's going to have to do it himself now, and it's very hard to judge pace when you're riding a horse that's not carrying you. So it'll be a tricky ride for Harry Cobden. Fact to File, I think that enhances Fact to File's chance that it doesn't look like it could be the same slog it was going to be, even though Harry Cobden would still try the same tactics. And I just think Fact to File will be too quick for him. Let's say he's a fairly solid second leg in the double. I was thinking with Broadway Boy in there that himself and Stay Away Faye would really tag team it and draw the sting out of Fact to File, but he's gone. So I think Fact to File, yeah, definitely comes into the reckoning now. And I think it's pretty strong form. American Mike, I think arguably he has better form than Monty Star. Plenty of people have put up Monty Star. He was a really solid jumper. But I think both Monty Star and American Mike have to improve a little bit to get to where Fact to File is right now.
Fact to File, Stay Away Faye, beaten 3.5 lengths by Capitano. Would you say Capitano was about 3.5 lengths, or Fact to File is 3.5 lengths better than Stay Away Faye, or Fact Capitano, all that sort of interlinking, you know, because that same
yard? They never work together, PK. They would never work together, but I would think Fact to File potentially has the ability to be better than Capitano.
Yeah, technically a novice, wasn't he, for half a season. Rory, your take on the Brown advisory?
Yeah, just on that point that you made, worth pointing out that Stay Away Faye was actually giving £3 to Capitano. So they come out as roughly the same horse on that running. I'm not convinced by the Cotswold Chase form, I have to say. I thought it was potentially a slightly messy race with a Holy Signor travelling really well in it, and then his rider losing his irons. And I thought the Stay Away Faye looked just quite a hard ride on the day. You know, you hung late on. We know how good he is over hurdles. He's always looked like he's going to be a better chaser, and you know he's put together several good runs, but I'm not sure that his form is quite as strong as it looks at first glance. When he won at Exeter, I thought Grey Dawning looked in need of the run, and came to win the race and then faded later on. So I'm not absolutely convinced that Stairway Faye is the superstar that he might be. Listen, he's a horse who will stay well. I agree with what Ruby says about the absence of Broadway Boy. It does make it difficult because Stairway Faye is going to be vulnerable to anything with a turn of foot. It almost certainly helps Factor File as well, who'd be happy sitting reasonably close to the pace here. I think he deserves to be favourite, but I've been with Monty Starr, Anti Post for this, and I'm very happy with where I am, to be perfectly honest. I'd be happy if he hits the three, but I think he's got a reasonable chance of winning it. I think he's the danger to Factor File. I wouldn't suggest that he should be the same price as Factor File, but although he hasn't achieved, as Ruby said, as much as a couple of these on the book, that's because it's Henry's style. Once he's got an idea of how good his horses are, just to put them away. So just needed the run on debut over fences. And I thought he was very impressive when beating Three Card Bride last time out. The bare form isn't good enough to win this. But again, it's just, you know, his jumping really impressed me. And I think he's got the ability to make a big impact here. And the fact that Henry was happy to bring him straight here off his second chase start back in the late autumn. Is something that with Henry gives you a bit of confidence. He ran twice after Christmas last year and then ran very flat on the Albert Bartlett when fancied. And Henry said he thought he ran him too close to the festival. It's not really his style. So yes, he does need to improve, but I think that's built into his profile. So I'd give him a half chance of beating Factor File. I do think the favourite is the right favourite. I'm not knocking him at all. He's a really likeable horse, Factor File. I thought he'd go for the 2.5 miler, which is why I was with Monty Starr and he posted this, but I still think he's got half a chance. And I think his price is fair because Stay Away Faye helps to hold that price up.
All right, not deserting Monty Starr, Rory. Factor File for Ruby, but as you heard there from Rory, does think Factor File clearly the one to beat. And those green and gold colours in the Carl Cup currently top the market, or at least they do on Monday evening at 9-2, Sat Majestuit. There was obviously talk about whether he'd go here or for the Martin Pipe. He's very much here. Mark Walsh very much rides. 11-2, Langer Dan, apparently going to come right back to form. And he's amazingly the exact same mark he was when winning at the festival last year. 11-2 for Dan Skelton, built by Ballymore for Martin Brassel and Doddy the Great, both 7-1. And then you got 10s for the very interesting First Street, Lucky Place, and 12-1, bigger the rest. Ruby Walsh, Sat Majestuit. Four runs, snaking into a handicap nowadays. You just need the four.
Just need the four, yeah. He's in good form, PK. Obviously beat Nobody Eights in Limerick. 9-2 is plenty skimpy in my eyes for a Carl Cup, to tell you the truth. But yeah, look, he was solid North Tie, blew out of Punchestown. Can be a bit gassy and a bit buzzy as well. And I want a bit more than 9-2 about him. I think it's a race to two horses coming back down the handicap as well. And I'm going to side with First Street. I was tipping him for the county. He runs here instead. Nico rides Doddy the Great, but I think First Street's back to a mark that's pretty respectable, and a 10-1 he makes more each way appeal to me.
And everyone still harps back to that time. Did he give State Man weight in the county? Was it a couple of years ago?
He was second to him.
Yeah, I know he was second to him anyway, when State Man was the biggest handicap shoe. And remember this extra.
We all know who
race
was third that day, don't we?
Is it Colonel Mustard? Of course it was Colonel Mustard. Of course, he won so many races after that, Colonel Mustard, didn't he? Including the 2024 Champion Hurdle, probably. Rory, your take on the Carl Cup. A Carl Cup in which a horse rated 117 has got in.
And he's an interesting one as well. And I've had a little bit of an argument online today with people saying, isn't it terrible that a horse rated 117 is in the Cup? I think it's terrific. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I would love to see more handicaps where the bottom weight is a horse you wouldn't have thought of in a month of Sundays who gets in there. And we've had horses from a stone out of the handicap winning handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival before. They've become very hard to weigh up. It makes things much more interesting. And I love the fact that Tony Martin has got potentially the really well-handicapped Zandabad in here, even if he is £4 out of the weights. He's been backed already as well. It was 40s. Mm-hmm. This morning, and I was thinking of putting him up at 40s, but he's been punted into about 20s already. On his flat form, he's got a very good chance. He was rated in the mid 90s, and you know wasn't at all disgraced in a very good 2 mile handicap at York last summer. His hurdling technique is not good. And that's why he's rated 117. If he could jump a hurdle, he'd be rated 140. And it's possible that since he ran at Musselburgh, actually, again, his jumping was a bit iffy. He still ran pretty well and gives him half a chance of getting here. If Tony Martin worked out that he might sneak into this, I know he was in other races at the festival as well. If this is some absolutely devious plan that he thought the handicaps would fall apart and he was going to school the horse extensively and get his jumping sorted out, he'd be really interesting. I suspect that won't be the case. And having been backed into 20s and shorter, I can leave him alone. Listen, the way to play this race is very simple. You watch Jericho de Repenay in the Supreme Novices Hurdle with a bet slip already filled out for Dotty the Great. And if Jericho de Repenay finishes his race off in the Supreme, I don't care where he finishes, he could finish sixth. If he finishes his race off, you back Dotty the Great. If he doesn't, you close the bet slip and look elsewhere. You've got to have a positive sign from the Henderson Yard. I thought Dotty the Great was, a real eye catcher under James Bowen on the Betfair Hurdle. I thought he was given a very moderate ride. He sat far too far off the pace. And then when it looked like he was going to come with a big sweeping run down the outside, he was switched to the inside and ran into a bit of traffic as well and finished a very respectable fourth. That form is already franked. I said Faithwar was a big eye catcher there just behind Dotty the Great. He's almost got the job done at Sandown on Saturday in the Imperial Cup. So Dotty the Great absolutely stands out for me with 10 stone 13 here. The question is just whether Nicky's are okay or not. And you basically, not that many of them have been seeing the races. I know he's had one or two winners. You just want to see one that's had a similar preparation to Dotty the Great finish his race off. So basically it's watched Jericho de Repenay. And if he's hitting the line hard, then Dotty the Great's a bet.
And you've got a Berico Delord as well, who really well on a big race.
Just one more thing to say here, though. Sam Majest didn't need to run at Limerick to get in this race.
Oh, really? I thought you'd have four runs to get into handicap.
No, the rule is if you're a novice, you need to have four runs.
Oh, my apologies.
And he doesn't. And of course, you remember a couple of years ago, it's probably over a decade now. Paul Nicholls won this race, didn't he, with a horse that hadn't run in the UK at all. He had just two runs and got into this contest and was all the rage. They were all talking about him, Au Petit Soin. And no one quite knew how he got into the race without the requisite number of runs. I spoke to the handicapper and he says, well, with non-novices, you can't force them to have another run because there aren't races for them.
So run the Champion Hurdle.
Au Petit Soin?
Could run the Champion Hurdle. Get a look at him.
You were in the booth last week, Ruby, and I was like, wasn't there a horse that made its debut from France and won a handicap? And I thought it was Fred Winter. It was clearly that horse, Au Petit Soin. Anyway.
So that's the same thing. So Sam Majest did not need to run at Limerick to get into this race. I'm sure Willie would have known that. And that's one thing just had me scratching my head a little bit. I reckon without a run, someone argued with me to say, well, if he didn't have a run, then he wouldn't be high enough in the weights to get in. But he would, because you look at his profile and you go, this would be better than the French form. And the handicapper would just bump him up 5 or 6 pounds to sort of mid-130s. So this, it doesn't, I mean, he may be good enough to win this race. He's very lightly raced. He's in exceptionally good hands. He just doesn't look like a plot to me.
That's okay. Sometimes the plots don't. No, you don't have to be a plot to win this race. You just have to be a very good horse.
Maybe Willie thought he had to run him, but he definitely didn't. I can tell you that.
Well, he won. He ran and he won and he beat Noble Yates. And we'll see how he gets on. That's Sam Majest. But it's First Street and Dotty the Great, potentially. Nicky Henderson. Keep an eye on those Tuesday runners if you're listening to this before Tuesday. The Champion Chase, Joe for 3:30. And El Fabiolo's to lose 1-2. John Bond 7-2. Now Edward Stone 7-1. Was delighted to see on Monday the dead eight again here. So the potentially is an each way angle. Ruby, you had a kind of an each way angle earlier on last week into this race, and the dead eight have held up.
Yeah, and I'd be hanging on PK. I wouldn't be doing it until again you watch Nicky's horses tomorrow afternoon. But I still think 7-2 each way. John Bond, I think, he's the only other horse that can win the race other than El Fabiolo. So I just prefer to be on him at 7-2 each way. You get 70% of your money back if he doesn't win. And if he does win, you get a good chunk. So, that's where I'd be. El Fabiolo's in great form. I think he's the best horse. Edward Stone will rock along. I think it'll be a great race to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Rory, I know you're going to be cheering on Captain Guinness because you have him at silly prices to each way. I think he's now 12-1. He was really well backed, wasn't he, last year? Was it last year? Heavily backed.
He was the massive eye catcher in the paddock last year. He was literally bucking and kicking and looking really well. And I heard Henry interviewed yesterday and he said the same thing. The horse is at Cheltenham already, and he's given a buck and a kick. And I thought that's a really good sign for him, because he tends to come alive at this time of the year. And he has been well covered already. He's a lot happier at the sharpish 2 miles at Cheltenham than he is at Leopardstown. He's never run to his very best there. And to be honest, his run in the Dublin Chase last time out was very much a fact-finding mission. It was just a case of, let's see if he's all right after the atrial fibrillation he had at Christmas. And he wasn't knocked about at all. And no, the stewards weren't going to pull him in and give them chapter and verse. He's better than the bare form. He wouldn't really want the grounds really sticky just because of the emphasis it places on stamina. That would be the slight worry for him. But I'm on him in Antipost all season. And I'm on, he's in my life-changing retirement multiple as well. So I've no need to play up on him. I did actually put up Edward Stone on our Cheltenham podcast as well. When he was beaten at Kempton, he drifted out to about 20-1. And I said he's definitely running in the Champion Chase now. And actually, he's a good bet for that because you can write off the Kempton run. So I've gone double-handed there. And Edward Stone is the key to this race. If he goes forward and has ridden aggressively and throws in the kind of jumps he was putting in at Newbury last time out, then I'm not suggesting he can necessarily make all the running and win well, but he can actually put the suspect jumping of a couple of these under pressure. And as Ruby will tell you, if you make mistakes early in a race like the Champion Chase, it's very, very hard to get back into contention. And both John Bond and, to a lesser extent, El Fabiolo can make early mistakes. The thing that El Fabiolo has in his favour is that he's never been put off by a mistake. He's never lost his rhythm through making a little mistake. He could just nudge a fence and that's what he does. But there still is the possibility early in a race that he could belt one and it could just knock his momentum a little bit. So if Edward Stone has ridden to do that, then I'm not nowhere near as big a fan of John Bond as Ruby is. I didn't think everything that happened to him at Cheltenham last time out was jockey error. I know James Bowen got absolutely crucified for the ride, but the horse did not help him one step of the way. He did misjudge when he came with his run, but John Bond's jumping was really poor. I gather he hasn't schooled very well since either, or he schooled, you know, someone saw him schooling and he made a Horlicks of the middle fence of the three they jump over there. And he was told, oh yeah, he always gets that one wrong. And I'm thinking, he's getting every third fence wrong. He's not going to be winning a Champion Chase, is he? So I'd be really anti John Bond. El Fabiolo, I'm not against him at all. I think he's by far the likeliest winner. But there is half a chance that Edward Stone can get him on the back foot by being ridden aggressively. The problem is, I'm just not sure Alan King's going to do that twice. He's done it in the prep race when really he should have kept it under wraps and done it in the Champion Chase itself. And now that he's done it once, he may well just revert to old tactics, which won't see him bother the front two at all. So that's the problem I have with that. But I think I don't know if Alan King, he's not necessarily going to admit what his tactics are going to be, because that would be a bit daft, wouldn't it? But it would be nice to think that Kingy wants to be positive here. I got a nice kingy in there. You like?
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the kingy. I was waiting for it. I got a straight reaction.
I think he's, and I know he's a bit long on the tooth now, but he looked as good as ever at Newbury last, and that's the key to him. He hated this race last year. He was held up, and he just sulked. Absolutely hated it. But when he's asked to go and attack his fences, he just looks a much happier horse. Let him do it, I say, and he's capable of winning this. He's not the likeliest winner by any manner of means, but he can change this race if he's ridden accordingly, and I very much hope he is.
Well, I'd put you down for one then of the two, Captain Guinness, Edward Stone. If they're like, because they're fascinating.
I think if I was having a punt in the race now, it would be Edward Stone, and I'd love to be able to corner Alan King and say, listen, off the record, are you going to go forward? And if he says no, then I'll just cry for half an hour and stick my money back in my pocket.
Check your contacts in your phone and look for Kingy and just send him an old WhatsApp there. It should be, find him straight away. Ruby, just before we move on to the next, had you any concerns about the angle Edward Stone could put the pressure on John Bond El Fabiolo's jumping?
No, I think it helps them both. I think he will do that. But I think it's the kind of race that I hope he does. I think it'll be a great race to watch.
Lovely.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's move on to the cross country, 10 past four. We're going to go next place. It isn't a handicap anymore. Hasn't been for a couple of years. But we're going to go four places in this. Manila Indo, 7-4. A lovely schooling session. Not a schooling session, sorry. But a lovely prep for this over the course and distance, or near course and distance. 7-4. 5-2 Delta Work. Cocoa Beach, 4-1. 4-1 Galvan. And 16's Bar, including Foxy Jack, Statler and Co. Ruby, the ground is key here. We're operating on Monday. Heavy in the description. And that might change things.
Yeah, it changes my choice anyway, PK. I'd be against Galvin in it. I was hoping it would have drived out a bit more, but I'd be worried about the ground. And I think looking at the race then, Manila Indo, Delta Work, I think Cocoa Beach is the one. I think he's the one horse, even at 9 years of age, that he's actually running up to his rating and running. He's been running really well. I thought he was impressive in Punchestown. The others seem to be coming down a bit, PK, and I'd be with Cocoa Beach. I think on real testing ground, he was impressive on his last start.
I think should have the blue cap of the Jigginstown team. Sam Ewing on board. Rory, the cross country?
I'm also changing my earlier position as well. I was very keen on Manila Indo, but he doesn't want... He's got shorter and shorter, but he doesn't want the ground. And, you know, when I put him up, he was a 6-1 shot after that eye-catching run on his debut at the track. I'll tell you what I'd be doing now. I'd be having a very small bet with the extra place at 66-1 on Frankie de Burley.
Lovely. Explain he's why.
Run well here before. He would have been placed in this race last year, but he got very tired going to the last stuffed hurdle and just dug his toes in and refused. But he's run very well at the track this season. He didn't run particularly well first time off a break, but he doesn't tend to go well off a break. Beaten 15 lengths. That still wasn't a terrible run, but it was second here in December. He was then off until February and just shaped as if he needed the run at Kempton last time out. The big plus for him, again, he handles heavy ground, but he'd probably prefer it to be quick. But the big positive for him is that Peter Bowen, having sort of struggled most of the season, is suddenly firing in winners just in the last 2 weeks. He's had four winners from his last seven runners, and he is the streakiest trainer, historically the streakiest trainer in the country. He would go months and months without a winner, Peter Bowen, and then suddenly he would have a 40% strike rate for 2 months. And with his horses suddenly come back to form, and Frankie de Burley having run pretty well here in the past, listen, he doesn't have the class of the top two or three, but with four places on offer and 66-1 being offered, I think he's worth a half a point each way.
Excellent. Lovely. Frankie de Burley each way, Cocoa Beach for Ruby. On to the Grand Annual over the 2 miles over fences. His favourite, Harper's Brook, a horse who does not like winning, but he won last time out, but he doesn't like it. 11-2
It's a million.
Well, Frank Hickey is massive on him. But anyway, 11-2 Harper's Brook, 6-1 Liberty Hunter, Moscata 6-1, who's been really well back for Henry de Bromwich in the last few days, 13-2 Madara, who had the temerity as a British trained runner to win a race at the DRF, and then 13-2 Samra, 15-2, big of the rest. Ruby, go on then. There's a few for Willie. Samra heading the pack.
Yeah, he is heading the pack. Mark rides him. He definitely has a squeak. You know, he ran well enough in last year's Arkell. I think he ran okay in 1-2 of his starts this year. Thought he ran well enough in the Dan Moore. Yeah, I'd be taking him as one of two against the field, PK. He's 13-2 and Liberty Hunter is 6-1. Liberty Hunter, of course, beat Matata here in January, and I thought was value for the length that he won, Liberty Hunter. So I'd be Liberty Hunter and Sam Roy against the field.
Excellent. Two for Ruby. Rory, your take?
I'd have two against the field as well. And one of those would also be Liberty Hunter, who I think should be the clear favourite for the race. I'll also make a prediction that the Betfair SP of Harper's Brook will be 20 or bigger.
Ooh.
This is just the most mental gamble I've ever seen. I've heard two or three good judges suggest that Harper's Brook will run well here. He's run four times at Cheltenham. He hasn't beaten a horse.
I think you can stop there. I think that's as bad, yeah, as bad as indictment.
I watched him at Cheltenham early in the season in the Paddy Power, and he caught my. He was last to finish that day, and I thought he's travelled well for a long way. He's going to pick something up, and I backed him at Ascot next time. And of course, he's gone 1-1 and been beaten. He's then won at Sandown last time, but he was very lucky. I don't know how that's rated like a lifetime best for him, because he of his two main dangers, one of them stumbled an unseated jump in the first fence, and the other one would have beaten them five lengths but for blundering at the last two and eventually unseating his rider. So he inherited that accidentally. He was trying to throw it away again. Visor might theoretically help him. I do not think he can finish this race, never mind win it. So I might well have egg all over my face. The other one I quite like here at a bigger price is Hardy DeSoy, who sneaks in at the bottom, 10 stone four. He's a horse who was campaigned over hurdles last season, but he's equally effective over fences. He really got the eye at Sandown last time out on his return from a long break. He'd been off since April last year, and he stayed on late in the day to finish third of 10 to Etalon off a mark of 132. Never really put in the race, finishing strongly. Normally, he races prominently, and I think racing prominently here is a benefit. He also handles soft ground very well, was a winner on deep ground at Sandown in January last year. The handicap has been kind. Jimmy Snowden has had a winner, two winners in actual fact, today at Stratford. So you can't really knock that. Two runners today and two winners suggest the stables in firing at just the right time. And I think Hardy DeSoy has gone a bit under the radar, but will probably be backed on the day.
Two votes for Liberty Hunter, one each for Hardy DeSoy and San Roy, if you want to be a bit of a poet. And also a big shout out to Paddy Power, who obviously hosts when I'm on my mini holidays, because his folks Tiara runs in that race. Or at least he has a leg in that horse. So best luck, Paddy, with the folks Tiara. Right, the bumper. William Mullins is sending 58,000 horses to this race. Best of luck to Patrick Mullins picking the right one. 5-1 favourite, though, is Gordon Elliott's Jalon du Derry, one of many unbeaten horses. Jasmine DeVoe gets the Patrick Mullins vote, 11-2. 7-1 T-Sham for Paul Nichols. 8-1 the Yellow Clay, also for Gordon Elliott. And then 9-1 You Ought to Know, and then a gazillion other horses for William Mullins. Ruby, I don't expect you to go through all nine, but give us your thoughts on the bumper.
Yeah, I think it's wide open. Jasmine DeVoe was a very impressive winner at Nace. You ought to know, ran well enough at the Dublin Racing Festival. Cantico improved from his first start at Leopardstown to win at Navan. Argento Boy showed way more on the track than he did at home. Set to Chance was beaten on his only start for us at Navan. Flora Fossil has run away twice and still been able to win on both occasions. Jodie rides her. Rachel rides Junta Marvel, who's won both her starts, but I think has been off the track for quite a while, and I probably wouldn't be with Horror Sound. Victorious improved from Leopardstown to win at Punchestown. You know, they're all pretty much of a muchness. But look, I've been with Argento Boy for a while now, and I'm not going to desert him. I think he'll stay going. He stays well. He's a better horse at the track than he is at home. And I think each way for me, I'll go Argento Boy at 12s. Plenty of chat for T-Shan and Paul Nichols as well.
Yeah, loads of chat for T-Shan. Tom Malone started that. Rory, your take on the bumper?
Yeah, well, the two that I quite liked are both out of the race. More's the pity. So I'm back to square one. I think I'd give a brief mention to the Yellow Clay when we talked about this before. He got skinny enough in the betting as he was put after catching the eye in that Leopardstown Grade Two bumper behind Jeroboam Mashin. He very much caught the eye there. He was coming off a layoff, having won his first two starts, and was allowed to go off at 40-1. But he was travelling as well as anything when getting hampered about a furlong and a half out, and then he ran on well late to be fourth under just hands and heels. I thought he was the clear second best on the day, and if you consider that the winner of that race would have been a warm favourite for this if he hadn't got injured, I thought the Yellow Clay is an obvious one, and his price is better now than it was at the time. So he'd be on my shortlist. You have to say the English might have half a chance this year as well. There have been plenty of impressive bumper winners. And a slightly confused picture in Ireland. So I saw that 6 Mile Bridge was a very big price. He was well backed to make a winning debut at Sandown last month, and looked a good prospect. That looked a pretty good bumper at the time. None of them have run since, but it looked strong on paper. He was punted off the boards to win. Ben Pauling has been firing in bumper winners for fun in the last 2 months. So if he's happy to run 6 Mile Bridge here and Keelan Woods takes the ride, that might make up for the disappointment of Harper's Brook finishing nowhere in the 410 for the same connections.
Am I going to put you down for 6 Mile Bridge and or the Yellow Clay?
The Yellow Clay, 6 Mile Bridge as a positive mention.
Okay, the Yellow Clay, I'm putting you down for it. Well, Ruby on Argento Boy. Ruby, you know what's going to happen. You know I said you're not going to mention all nine. You left one out. You know what's going to happen. That horse is going to win. Do you know which one you left out?
No.
It's in the Brian Drew Silks. The Brave Man's Game Colours. Fishery Lane.
Oh, yeah.
That just sod's law that'll win now.
That's the best look to him if he does, PK, but even if I mention him, I wouldn't be tipping him.
Yeah, well, he's 50-1. Michael O'Sullivan gets the ride. Interesting to see those Brave Man's Gain colours on Fishery Lane. Now, it's time for Best Bets on day two of Cheltenham. Rory DeLargy, off you go. Your best bet. You're much stronger today by the same things than you were yesterday, anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to make... And there's a couple of outsiders that I quite fancy, but I'm going to make Hardy DeSoy each way in the Grand Annual.
My goodness. Well, I tell you, you'd be the only person around happen that one up. I'd be fairly confident. Hardy DeSoy in the 450 each way. That is the Grand Annual. Ruby?
Look, those are two sharp. Ballyburn, Firefox, or not Firefox, Factophile and El Fabiolo. So looking for something that a bit of value, PK, Argento Boy each way in the bumper.
Excellent stuff. And of course, that travel is going to be really popular. Working out about 7-2 on Monday evening. Back them all to win by three lengths or more, and you're more than doubling the price. For those who want to go the length in your odds, just to lengthen your odds, three lengths or more, the treble worked out last I checked around about 7.5-1. But your luck, whatever you fancy, lads. Thanks a million. We'll be back tomorrow to look ahead to day three of the festival. Fingers crossed, you got a few winners in there. As I mentioned, Paddy Power Racing YouTube, loads of stuff on that. And if you have time and it's still Tuesday morning, get yourself down to the Brewery Quarter for a pint of Guinness. I'm told in a glass and a proper two-part pour. Best luck to Paddy Parrott with the folks TR. Chat tomorrow.